Hey everybody, it's Connor, and yes, the rumors are true. We are in our iHeartRadio Broadway era. The drama has never been hotter, y'all. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your first episode, you're going to absolutely love it. You're going to absolutely love Zane Phillips. I mean, who doesn't? He's amazing. He's so sweet and the perfect guest for us to kick off this new chapter of drama with Connor and Dylan McDowell. Dylan and I love you. Thank you so much for finding us. If this is your first time, again, you're going to love it. Check out our entire catalog of over 250 episodes with the Broadway stars you know and love, the ones you don't know yet, the people from crossover mediums. We really love to have fun with it. We've got even more fun coming. Shout out to iHeartRadio Broadway for partnering with us. And definitely follow us on all forms of social media at The Drama Podcast and give us 5-star reviews. Leave incredible reviews so other people can find us. I know it's corny, but it helps. And I want to mention, if you love this podcast, which you're gonna, we want you to go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast, where for $5 a month, you get access to Drama Plus. Drama Plus is our bonus content platform. Basically, it's just like regular drama, but plus extra episodes and close friends access. And the money supports the podcast to let us keep bringing you incredible chats that are like, I don't know, listening in on brunch with your friends, you know, for while you're doing laundry, for while you're driving to work, for while you're working out, for while you're putzing around your house or apartment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We love you. Thank you again for joining us. We're truly so grateful for all the support you've given us all these years. And if, again, if this is day one, get ready. We're going to have a blast. All right, now on to the show.
Press play.
Curtain up, and now we're in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more.
Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. And Connor, we are officially partnered with iHeartRadio.
I'm gagged.
Broadway.
Period. As we were doing our intro, I thought to myself, oh, should we be adding that in somewhere, some way, somehow? But I don't know if we need to.
I don't think so.
I'm so excited.
I don't think much is going to change with like the way that we run the show. You know, I think that it's the drama that everyone knows and loves, but we're powered and partnered with iHeart, which is honestly legit. We need to toot our own horns about that.
I'm so proud of us. I mean, we're coming up on 5 years, but we dreamed of something like this, you know, back then, and we've never given up. And major kudos to you for, you know, editing, doing all the back end stuff that I have no idea how to do, because it literally would not happen without you. And I'm stoked. Like, it's just gonna keep getting better and better and better. And shout out to everybody who's been a part of Drama from the start, and Michael Hull for our new cover art, and Robbie Rizal for helping with it, and Peter Gunther, and everyone else.
Yeah, everyone
else.
Who listens, but
so
also
fun.
Like the amazing guests, like our guest today that we're kicking off this iHeart era with. The fact that people agree to talk with us and just be silly and oftentimes gay is just like so amazing. And I definitely think that we've made an impact, whether big or small.
100%. I mean, you posted on the feed, you know, our iHeart announcement. And Dylan, I've never received more messages in my life, not on my birthday. You know, actually, I got a lot of messages when you got engaged, but that's probably second to this.
Like, I love that you got messages upon my engagement.
I got so many messages that were like, tell your brother congrats. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, that's fun. That's nice. People were probably like, are you okay? You're losing your brother?
I did get a few of those, but
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Won't bring those up today. But anyway, Dylan, I'm stoked about our guest. Literally love him. And he's so fun. He's bringing amazing vibes.
He is. He's so fun. And I expected him to be, but I have to say I was a little intimidated because, you know, as I write in the bio, he does feel like the internet's boyfriend at times.
I know.
We'll fluff his ego up more in a second. But I have to also say I spent the last week watching Glamorous, which I did not tell him this beforehand, but I am so sad that it's not coming back for another season. I living in that world for the last week. Speaking of gay, maybe one of the gayest shows I've ever seen without there being full frontal nudity. I mean, it was like absolutely the queerest thing imaginable, but we're going to talk about
No.
it with him.
Wait, there was no full frontal on it?
No, but there were some rare moments.
Okay.
Netflix is wild as hell these days.
I know. I felt like Glamorous filled an Emily in Paris gap that like, while Emily in Paris was off air, Glamorous was with us last year, and
yeah,
it's a shame.
with the
But
pop culture references and yeah, totally. Anyways, I want to talk about it with him, but we have this guest here for a very specific reason today, but we'll chat about it all.
It's a pretty perfect reason.
Some might say.
Oh, I had to. I had to.
Our guest today is a breakout star, the internet's boyfriend, as I said, and multi-talented actor currently starring in Pretty Perfect Lives. In this off-Broadway play, now running through September 8th at the Flea Theater, this triple threat marks his return to the stage after making a name for himself in film and television. You'll know him from Netflix's Glamorous as Chad, where he starred as Kim Cattrall's son, or perhaps as Dex in the iconic movie Fire Island. He starred on Legacies on the CW as Ben in Netflix's Partner Track and Freeform's Good Trouble. If you don't recognize him from his plethora of television appearances, you'll know him as a literal model and cover boy for global publications and magazines. On stage, he's weaponized his BFA in the national tour of The Sound of Music, as well as in productions of Hairspray, Hair, Mamma Mia, and more. You know him, you already follow him on Instagram, and we're so gagged he's on the pod with us today. Please welcome to drama,
Zane Phillips.
Oh my God, my life just flashed before my eyes. Wow, I appreciate that. Triple Threat is so generous.
Your face was hilarious to watch when Dylan was reading up the credits, especially when it got into your theater credits.
I was just like, you know, did any of that happen? I don't know. I'm still, jury's still out on that.
Majority of it was pre-pandemic, right?
Yeah, a lot of pre-pandemic, and then... Yeah, it was a different lifetime for sure, for sure.
The theater stuff.
Yeah. And it was just it's so funny because we had a performance last night of our play, and a lot of the Outsiders cast was there, and it was just so it was like this weird conjunction of things because I'd been part of that like workshop process for a couple of years, and I was like I thought this was a different life. I didn't realize this was all coming. So it's crazy.
Wait. There's so much to get into, but we are obsessed with The Outsiders.
It's so good. It's so good. I haven't gotten to see it yet, but I know it's good.
Yes, so good. Were you a greaser or a Soche in the workshop?
I was absolutely a Soche.
You were Soche.
I figure.
Yeah.
I could see you playing Daryl, the older brother.
Yes. Well, I did. I mean, I got close.
Damn it.
Oh my God. I need to hear your thoughts once you see it. But I mean, it's obviously won best musical at the Tonys.
Yeah. I'm obsessed with that score. I think like Jamestown Revival, like they hit the nail on the head. It's like, I think it's the most unique sounding thing on Broadway. I think it like really is. It speaks to me. It's the genre of music that like I grew up loving and listening to. So
yeah. Subtle reveal that you're a Southern boy.
Subtle, very subtle. Yeah.
We had Jason Schmidt on our show earlier this
sweetheart,
summer.
And, sweetheart.
I saw that he went and saw your show as well. Yeah. He's like literally the sweetest person. Anyways, okay, so wait, we have to just kind of check in. You had an opening night over the weekend.
Yeah.
Zane, are you well?
Yeah, I'm well. I'm a little raggedy, but I'm well.
Well, it's felt like it was like probably an accelerated process to get this show up.
Absolutely.
And then it's only for such a short period of time.
Yeah, it was I think 7 days of rehearsal, and
that's
then we
it?
Had
oh my goodness.
Yeah, and then we had our like first preview, and then we were open the next day. So today, you know, day off, coming off of the tail end of like a 5-show weekend, as well as like tech and everything else that happened. So I hope I can verbalize anything today. I'm really sorry for what's about to happen.
You're doing well.
Thank you so much.
You're doing great. I'm also raggedy. I was in Fire Island this weekend. Oh, so
I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous. It's like, why is summer so busy? Why can't I just live on Fire Island for a month? I don't get this.
Next summer.
Yeah. Who will patronize a month for me in Fire Island? That's what I want to know. Where are the patrons? Where are the arts patrons?
I think you need to be really scared about the people that are going to come out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
That's so fun. Oh, okay, obviously you were in the movie, so I do feel like you're immortalized there in a way.
That's my thing. I feel like I should be able to just hop on over, right? Like, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's not like my character was like very... A character would not be welcome back. But...
No. He was a bad boy.
He was a bad boy.
Connor, did you encounter any Dex type characters while you were... This was Connor's first time.
Oh, really? Yeah. What? Yeah. Did you find any... Yeah. Any Dexes? Any demon twinks? Any chicken tender thieves?
Both. Absolutely both.
did y'all see the tweet with the guy who found in the closet like this list of outfits?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you yes. Did you even know there were that many different kinds of white Converse? Because I didn't.
Even the underwear was like, the color of the underwear was specified for
the
each.
The bracelets?
Yeah.
The hats? Three outfits on chill day. I put it in the Louvre, honestly. It's that's art to me.
I know, I'm saving that for
absolutely incredible
next summer, honestly.
Well, I had told so many people that I was going, you know, for the first time, and they were like sending, the timing was insane about that meme coming up with people sending that around. And so it did make me a tad more nervous, but it was so fun. I mean, it's truly a magical place.
It really is.
The,
and
the hype is real.
The hype is real. And the fact is, like, you know, you think it's going to be all crazy all the time, and it's really not. You can escape so nicely and easily, and like just going to the beach or going to the sunken forest.
I've never heard of the sunken forest. What's that?
So okay, so it's like you kind of have to go beyond the pines, beyond Cherry Grove, and then beyond like some other weird no man's land, and then there's like this sort of boardwalk that goes into this like beach forest, and it's really, really lovely. Back when I was a runner, I ran over there a couple times. Yeah, it's just, it feels very like isolated, and, you know, you can get that sort of quiet time that sometimes you really want while you're in a house with 18 gays.
It sounds like the name of like a Lord of the Rings location on like the map.
The Sunken Forest. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Fire Island is very Tolkien. You have everything. You have your hobbits. You have your orcs. You have your elves.
You literally do.
There's a metaphor here.
There is. I was shocked at how quiet it was by day, you know, just walking around, but not even just in terms of like people being chill, but it's not until you get off the ferry and you realize, oh, there's no cars here. There's no honking horns. It's not the insane craziness of New York City. So definitely can't wait to go back. Yeah. It also just felt like gay summer camp, just with, you know, like there's posters everywhere of the events of the week. And everybody has just like two options of what to do. So you're going to see everybody want something.
Right.
So yeah. Oh my God. I loved it. Okay. Well, we need to get into like you in the film Fire Island, everything else. But I do want to talk about Pretty Perfect Lives first.
Yes,
so
yes,
such
is,
a
yes,
quick
yes.
rehearsal process. You're open, you're running. How are you feeling about it?
I'm feeling really good. I think I keep on saying it's been a weird year industry-wise in LA especially. And so I think this year, in order to sort of combat that particular bit of insanity, I've just been sort of like, all right, this is my year of good scripts. Like, I don't care anything else. Like, let me just do good words. Let me hone my craft a little bit, because it you know, it's hard when you're sort of going from gig to gig, but they're so few and far between. You're sort of auditioning, but those are also few and far between. And you feel like you're not able to actually improve as a craftsman. I feel really good about my craft in this. I feel proud of the work that we've all done. I think Elizabeth and Nick, the other two actors in the show, are both phenomenal, and we're all like really pushing each other and supporting each other. And yeah, and I'm glad to have it open. And I'm glad now that like that we get to sort of, you know, obviously it has a lot to say to the audience sort of directly. It's always interesting how different audiences respond differently, because I think some people really resonate with some of this, and some people don't. Yeah, it's been fascinating.
That's my favorite kind of theater, is when something, people either love it or they're not sure how to think about it, but it gets people talking. I love that. I love that experience.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you mind telling me a little bit about the plot of the show?
Absolutely, absolutely. It is the story of this TikTok influencer couple. They're sort of like lifestyle influencers, very performative, right? But very, very well known. Basically, they encounter some relationship issues where Tucker, the guy, sort of wants to explore his sexuality a little bit. So they like have a threesome, and it sort of, through mechanisms, breaks them apart in a certain way, but they are part of this program, and it feels very like near future, you know, AI algorithm reality simulator vibes. And they go through different permutations of their relationships with each other, and this like third guy gets sort of swept into it until it all kind of sort of unravels, and they have to confront like why this happened in the first place. So it's crazy, like tech satire. It's giving, I mean, you know, I think a lot of people have used the comparison. It's very Black Mirror.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's definitely a reflection of where we're at right now in terms of how our lives apart from the internet, our lives in the internet, have become more and more enmeshed. And the way that technology has progressed has encouraged that. And now we're at the point where so much of our lives are you can't remove yourself from the internet, and we don't know how that happened. You know what I mean? You know, I've really been thinking about it a lot, because you think about the first social media, right? You think about like MySpace and then Facebook, right? And you think about how basically it was for the communities that you kind of already knew, right? It was for connecting with your friends. It was for sharing with your friends and your family. Maybe you're not in the same place as them, but you know these people, and it's for your friends, and the circles are small. And then you start getting to Instagram, right? And suddenly, like, okay, now people are starting to gain like a lot of followers for certain reasons. And this sort of idea of the influencer starts to arise. And suddenly the idea that everyone wants to be an influencer starts to arise, right? And then now we progress. And now we're at TikTok, right? Which is almost not related to our real life relationships at all, right? Like, I suppose people use TikTok to like follow the people that they know, but for the most part, the model is built on your life being observed by people who are halfway across the world, who might find you interesting, right? And so the fact is, like, we went through this whole progression without even realizing it. You know what I mean? Nobody's been like, hey, like, this thing is adding a new aspect, actually. And now we're caring more and more about people who are further and further away from us. That's how I feel. I don't know. I feel like nobody's talked about it to me, you know? And that's the thing, is like, it can be so dangerous. I mean, not saying it's always dangerous. Like, it's not necessarily an indictment on the concept as a whole, but it can be so dangerous, and nobody's been prepared. Nobody's been fully situated to handle it. So yeah. So that's kind of what we're exploring.
Wow. It sounds really good.
Yeah. It sounds fascinating. I think that you're onto something too, with like the fact that we haven't stopped to examine it.
Yeah.
Because I do think in many ways, like when lockdown happened, people did stop, but we were all on our phones more then. You know what I mean? It was like,
well, and that's the thing. And that was sort of probably the last, like, technology became a support for our real life relationships again.
Yeah.
Right. Where suddenly, like, okay, we actually couldn't see people in real life. So suddenly, like, yeah, we were on Zoom all the time. We were, you know, like having like game nights, yeah, virtually, you know?
Remember that?
But that's the thing. It changed my relationship with my phone, because I used to be able to put this bad boy away for hours at a time and not even think about it. And after the pandemic, it became so much more of a lifeline, just to feel like I was connected with somebody.
You're speaking to my soul. I cannot get rid of this thing for the life of me. And I wish I could just watch a TV show without 5 minutes going by and being like, oh, anything new? It's so, yeah. It's bad. It's bad.
That's why I know. That's why I'm like, I have to watch movies in a theater. Yes. Like, I cannot watch a movie at home. Like, I have to watch a movie in a theater, because like, I also think it's important for us to have forced focus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's why, mm-hmm, I like, honestly, I like that about video games too, right? Is like, if you're playing a video game, you kind of can't concentrate on anything else. Yeah, like,
totally.
I mean, maybe some people can, but I have a total simple monkey brain. So I have to put my whole brain into that.
That's fair. And, you know, going to the theater yourself. You know,
and going to the theater. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Going to the theater. I love going to like a group fitness class where my phone or a screen is not involved. Ooh. Ugh. Mm. Those are like the only times when I'm watching something in a theater or...
Yeah, yeah. We all have to be so much more controlled about ourselves, right? Like life isn't supporting us in that way anymore. Like, we all have to like take control and be like, I have to carve out no phone time, right, you know? Because life is not going to support that. Yeah. I mean, it stresses me out. Like, I hate being on call all the time. I hate the fact that like at any given time, I am responsible to respond to certain things. Yeah. You know what I mean? As opposed to like... being able to sit down at the end of the day, like I usually do, and answer my texts on my computer, like their emails. And, you know, that feels a lot more normal to me. And then, you know, you don't always get instant responses. And then you're like, all right, send it away.
And then your weekly screen time report is at least a little bit lower than your phone. But
that's true.
I love that the play, as you described it, is very much modern, if not leaning a little bit into the future too, about where these things are at.
Yeah, yeah.
We had Andrew Keenan Bolger on earlier this year, and he was in a play that was about like AI, and oh, he's the best. And we kind of talked about this with him about like when it's truly a contemporary play that is analyzing what's happening in the moment. Yeah. And it also kind of then becomes a time capsule of like, in 5 to 10 years, where are we going to be at with these some sort of predictive things that were discussed in a play, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if there's one thing I've learned about the past couple of years, is that the people in charge of big tech are not good people. You know what I mean? There's not good people in charge of tech, actually. And there's not an attempt to make life better for most people. There's an attempt to make profit for people who are already wealthy. And that's what we have to fight against. That's what we have to be aware of. And it's so weird and crazy, because Yeah, it's like, how can you do it? Because it's moving so fast.
Mm-hmm. It's wild.
Yeah. I was going to ask about your co-stars.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed. Yeah. Of course, with the rest of the world, obsessed with Elizabeth from You. You know, I mean,
yeah,
fantastic.
She's what I love about Elizabeth is that she's so present and so like earnest as a person. And it's so interesting to see her apply that to this character who is so, I mean, I think it's challenging. I think it's challenging to play a character who is sort of this influencer type personality, I guess, whatever that platonic ideal is, but uh-huh. like what a lot of people consider shallow or whatever. And yeah. How she brings a lot of humanity to it. And she's so fucking funny.
So Zane, did the bleached hair come before Pretty Perfect Lives or did it come because of, or are you going through a crisis? Like what's, it looks great, by the way.
No crisis.
I'm glad to hear it.
It came before the show. They didn't know I was going to do it. I don't know. I get bored with my hair and I get a little chaotic sometimes. And I wanted to see what it looked like. And I thought it would be a little appropriate. And honestly, I think it looks correct in the show. I think it looks a little like futurist. I think our glowing white set, like it helps set it off a little well. I think I made the right decision.
It looks really good. Not everybody can pull it off. I think I like it when someone has darker eyebrows yes. with the bleached. Mm-hmm. It looks really good.
I think that tends to be the way to do it because otherwise you can sort of be giving, you know, on Top Model when Tyra would bleach their eyebrows.
Yes.
And they looked a little alien, you know, which is good for fashion, I suppose, but not so good for trying to show up in a theatrical space and be a person.
Yeah, fair enough. So is this the first theatrical project that's come across your desk in the last few years? You know, you mentioned that the theater part of you feels like very like a lifetime ago. Have you been in any other workshops or had any other scripts?
Not really. It's been one of those things where, I mean, once I started doing more like film TV work, it felt like it was just, you know, coming. Like it just, I was booking things and I wasn't really like thinking about it too much. But yeah, I guess maybe a couple things have come into my lap, but I don't know. This is the first time that it's just felt right timing wise. You know, I'm not someone who likes to say no to things anyway, but like, I really felt like I was like, okay, this is a good fit. This feels like the right group of people to be doing this with. Yeah. And I love Gage. I think he's got a really interesting perspective. And I remember when they were doing XO Pony Boy or what, yeah. the OnlyFans play.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I wanted to see that, but I missed it.
And I remember when that was circulating and I was like, that's wild. that's so cool. I mean, it's like, what an interesting concept to like do a play over OnlyFans.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the thing is like theater should be sort of adapting to the mediums that people are using,
yeah.
the media that people are using, you know? So I honestly think there's a version of this show that could go up on TikTok,
ooh.
Which I think would be really interesting because there is so much like swipes and shifts. And I'm like, there's a version of that that could work.
Yeah.
Lord knows if they can have those like 20 part ads about some weird like audio book thing where have y'all seen those?
Yes. It's too much.
It's always some girl who marries a billionaire unexpectedly. I don't know. I'm not really on TikTok. I let other people curate them and show them to me, but sometimes I like see them as they're scrolling through. But
yeah. Yeah. Like you were saying, we're not necessarily following our friends on TikTok. You
exactly.
Know,
exactly.
Things.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you're back in this theater moment. You're obviously multi-talented. I mentioned Triple Threat. We kind of like to go back to the beginning of when you got that creative itch in the first place. And you did sing us a few notes of Ring of Keys when we mentioned it beforehand. So we knew we were in good company that you knew the reference, but we called Ring of Keys moment when you realized you wanted to pursue a life in the arts, acting, anything like that. Do you feel like there was a moment for you at some point in your life where that light switch was flicked on?
Yeah, it absolutely. I can absolutely pinpoint it because, and I've talked about this a little bit before, so sorry that y'all are getting sloppy seconds in terms of my storytelling, but yeah, so it was when I was in high school. So I was in a small Texas town, like 10,000 people. You know, the high school that I went to, we had like one play a year, but we didn't do musicals. But we had a pretty like robust community theater. Like the community theater was actually really good. And so my sister was a part of things, and then I, you know, slowly got roped into it. And it was my junior year of high school, and I was not planning on going into the arts at all. Like what did I want to do at that point? I think I wanted to go into linguistics. I was really interested in language and you know, I had taken Latin for a few years, and that was, I loved the way that language, anyway.
That's cool.
But yeah, my junior year community theater was doing Man of La Mancha, and I was just, you know, I was like one of the muleteers, just sort of hopping around with wooden swords and whatever, whatever, whatever. And I remember, like, because the way it was set up, like, we got to watch the man playing Don Quixote singing The Impossible Dream, and it moved me so much. It unlocked something in me that, like, I hadn't felt in years, which was a sort of genuine emotional connection to anything, which I felt like as an adolescent boy, you like learn to lock away. And I was like, oh, this is the thing that reopens it again. And it was specifically because it was this conjunction of like storytelling and music and performance, right? So yeah, so at that point I was like, I think I gotta figure out how to do this. I gotta figure out how to do this. And so I was just kind of like, you know, thank God for my mother, who was helping me do research. And, you know, we were like, all right, what are the good schools for this? You know, I went to the University of Michigan summer program that they had that summer, Impulse. And yeah, and realized like, oh, fuck, I know nothing. Great, cool, 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 cool. Like there are people here who have been belting their faces off since they were 5 years old. And I'm like struggling to hit an E flat, you know? So it was definitely, it was a long and arduous climb. And, but like, you know, I stuck with it. And like, at the end of the day, I still go back to that and think about the fact that I just want to be a storyteller, you know, like I don't need anything else. Like I don't need success necessarily, but I want just whatever will help me do this as long as possible. And hopefully, you know, it allows me to like support myself, but I don't need anything else. Honestly, like that is the thing that gives me the most joy.
That's really special. Wait, I literally got chills when you're mentioning The Impossible Dream, because that song, I mean, just the way that it builds everything.
Yes.
Have you seen the Cynthia Erivo version of it at the Kennedy Center Honors that she sings?
I don't know if I have, actually.
Oh my God, it's so good, Zane. Yeah.
I'm intimidated for you when you showed up at Impulse and all these young Rachel Berrys were there.
Yeah.
Just like
intimidating theater brunettes. That's what I was saying. I was like, wow, the blonde girls, cool, fine, whatever. The brunettes will slice your neck open.
It's intense. Oh my gosh. And then you ended up at Elon, right? For college?
Yes, I did. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Was that a positive experience?
It was. You know, I mean, I think it's just funny because like I wasn't a favorite in college, you know, like I was very much still sort of like fighting every year just to like get noticed and to figure out what my niche was, I think, because it's, you know, it's also, I was like, I'm not a very good chorus boy and I'm not a power tenor. And so that really limits you as a young man, you know, like,
sure. Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Like they're like, you got to learn how to tap, bitch. And I'm like, I don't want to.
Right.
And that's ultimately what got me more in like the film side of things, was because like, I felt most confident in my acting above anything else. And so I was working with a lot of the film students and sort of discovering, you know, my love for that particular medium. And again, I'm grateful. I needed the training. I needed the experience. I needed to be around that. And I'm glad I got a normal education on top of it. And it gave me the connections that I needed to like make it in New York for however long I did. I wouldn't change anything about it, but I definitely sometimes was like, well, why can't I be the one? Why can't I be the boy, the special boy?
Relatable as
well. A sensation. I feel often.
Yeah, yeah.
Were there any roles you missed out on at Elon that you were like, oh, that would have been perfect for me?
Ooh, they did do Oklahoma the year after I graduated. And I was like, I'm sorry. Like, I've been giving you pure Rodgers and Hammerstein like this entire time. This would have been perfect for me. Instead, our senior show was fucking Titanic. You know what I mean? Which, like, whatever, dude. Like, sorry, Titanic, beautiful score. I don't want to see that.
No.
We all know what happens. You know what I mean? Like, where's the dramatic tension? I mean, whatever. It's a good show, but like, I do think it's a weird choice for college. I don't know.
And you wanted to be Curly, right?
Of course. Of course. I'm desperate. I've never done it. I need to.
You could do it for sure.
I think I could. Yeah, I think I could. Sorry, yeah. I got so passionate. Just
I
there.
Love. No, you're. It's. I hit a nerve. It still hurts. It's hurts.
You did have Rodgers and Hammerstein fantasy come true though when you did Sound of Music on tour, right?
Yeah, that's true.
A little different though.
But it is a little different. Mm-hmm. It is a little different. Also, that show is so long.
Oh
My God.
It's long.
That was the craziest realization I had. I was like, you know, because Pretty Perfect Lives is a one act play.
Music to my ears.
Speedy little 80 minute thing. Yeah, we love it.
Beautiful.
And I was like, oh, this entire show is shorter than the first act of Sound of Music.
There's a lot to get through.
That's
you know what I mean? Like you are listening to those children sing for 3 hours.
I know my fiance is an actor, and when he was a young kid, he did like 3 different productions within like a year and a half time span. And his family said they couldn't go anymore to see him do it because they were like, you know, we want to support you, but we just can't sit through it after, you know, it's been days of our lives at this point watching this show.
Yeah. I mean, but that's their fault. Like, you let your child be an actor. Like, sorry.
That comes along with
sorry.
It.
Sorry. That's on you. That's on you. You didn't have to do that. You actually didn't have to do that.
Okay. Wait. So, were you out in college or did you come out before that?
I was out by week 2 for sure.
The impulse week at Michigan didn't do it for you.
It was the beginning for sure. It was the inciting incident. Absolutely.
Of course.
But yeah, I had a lot of religious baggage to work through.
That's fair.
Over the next year. And then by the time I got to college and I was separate from the prying small town eyes, I was able to like feel a little bit more open and yeah. And I had a crush on a boy. So I was like, all right, I guess I gotta come out for this.
Did you tell him? Did you tell
I did.
Him?
Yeah.
What did he say?
I was like, hey, I just want to let you know, like I actually do like guys and I like you. And then we dated for like 3 weeks.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
In the way that college freshmen do, you know, before they move on.
And then you met the upperclassmen and you were like, anyways.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny now, like, you know, you do a lot of very queer projects. And I love that you're this amazing, positive representative of, I would say, soft masculinity at times, Zane. Because I do think, you know, you have like a strong presence to you, but I also think that you're like a softie at heart.
I like that a lot. I appreciate that. Yeah, because I do think it's been really interesting because, you know, especially in the last several years, like, you know, as I've become a little bit more of a man, I do find that everything I do play now does become a sort of statement on masculinity, right? And it is sort of, you know, just by virtue of having a queer man in, you know, this kind of role, whatever, it just, it always ends up saying something about how we relate to masculinity. And yeah, and so I'm really grateful for that. And I think it is kind of like a really interesting niche. Yeah, I appreciate it. And it's a nice way to describe it because I do think, you know, hopefully I do bring something just beyond the sort of normal, it's like bro-y gay thing. I don't know.
Even the way that your character on, I mentioned Glamorous
at the
top, the way that your character unfolded, I think that I was expecting something pretty different at the beginning based on by the time we got to that P-Town episode. And granted, his reasons for being there weren't necessarily to just have fun and make friends, you know, but like the way that your character interacted with the other gays and whatnot, I was like, wait, he's like really sweet and fun and knows how to have a good time and he's not so intense all the time. And
that's why I'm so disappointed that we didn't get a second season, because I really felt like everyone's arcs were set up really well, you know, for whatever came next. And it really would have been, I mean, it's a shame, right? Because like it was a show with a trans lead. And mm-hmm. I think like we need that. And to see that process, to see somebody come to terms with that aspect of themselves, I think is so important. For those of y'all who have not watched it, it's not me. It's Miss Benny's character.
Right.
But I think for Chad, you know, there was a lot of opportunity, and we like introduced the dad last minute, and I'm like, well, of course. This is another great opportunity to explore like what his relationship is to masculinity, because so much of our relationships to masculinity are wrapped up in our relationships to our dads,
mm-hmm.
you know,
totally.
and having to unpack all of that to further, you know, heal yourself, I think is a big portion of every man's therapy, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And his dad loomed large the whole time with the jersey being above the desk and everything.
It would have been so
Who
fun.
Would you have dreamed to play your father on that show?
We discussed this. Okay, so here were my thoughts. I think Dolph Lundgren would have been really fun.
Oh, amazing. That is such brilliant casting. Oh my
God. Right? Can't you see it? Can't you see it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because like so intimidating, but like, I mean, very, very handsome.
Yeah.
I think that was sort of like my number one.
Yeah. I think we can stop there, because honestly, like that was, that's perfect. You know? And I got to ask what it was like working with Kim Cattrall.
Yeah, were you gagged?
I was gagged. I mean, you know, I have to say it was so long ago. And you know, Kim, I think what I will say is Kim kept to herself. Kim was there to do the job, and yeah, she did the job. You know,
she slayed it. Oh my God.
And she slayed, and she looked great. She looked fucking phenomenal.
I mean, the number of scenes that were just the two of you, I was like, you probably had to be so in the zone, because otherwise I would be like, oh my God, like this icon before me.
I do wish I could go back sometimes and do some of those scenes again, because I was crazy. I like did some of the, you know, like I came in with like a very specific image of who Chad was. And that's, you know, it's what I brought to the day to day. And her version of Madeline was a little bit different than what I had read on the page. And so I wish I had maybe listened a little bit more to what she was giving and been able to adapt, because sometimes I felt like I was giving a lot of energy. And I think she was like, stop.
Oh man. I think it worked. The dynamic played out well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think so.
In season two, you would have been able to address that. It's tough.
Get a love interest, maybe.
I know.
Although it's not always about having a love interest, but it would have been nice.
Because I watched it when it dropped a year ago. Did it? Chad didn't have a love interest, did he?
No. Do you want to hear my pitch for what season two would have been for Chad?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, listen to this. So my thought was, all right, so he leaves the company, right? My thought was, okay, he becomes like a business manager for like a closeted NFL player. Like he gets that connect like through his dad, right? And so like he has to sort of like face this sort of internalized homophobia like in this guy and also within himself, and maybe they like start dating or something. Anyway, that was my thought. I think that'd be so interesting, right?
That's fun.
Oh my God.
God, the possibilities are endless.
If it would have been on network, I think that they let series breathe a little bit more and give them more of a renewal chance. The CW, it would have run forever, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny. We forget that Netflix used to renew everything.
Everything.
They used to be actually the place to go if you wanted at least two seasons of something. And it's just, oh.
I know.
We're in such a tough time in this industry, man. Like it feels like, feels so sad, you know, looking around and being like, God, it's hard for everyone.
Yeah. I guess it wasn't meant to be, which is like the worst advice. Yeah. But then later on, you look back and you're like, oh, well, maybe I wouldn't have been able to do that. Or,
I mean, that's the thing is like, it's how this industry works. And that's not new. You know, that aspect is not new. You always have to pick yourself up and focus on the next thing and figure out what that is. And yeah. And so again, we're in big R&D phase right now.
Yes,
yeah, exactly. For sure. Wait, take me back to after you finished at Elon. What happened next? Did you move to New York, like right out of school?
I moved to New York, essentially. Yeah, I think I did like a little summer. I did summer job at Flat Rock Playhouse and then went to New York a month later and was just hustling. Worked at the Lululemon men's store in Soho.
A good discount?
Girl, it was not good enough. This shit is expensive.
But they probably made you wear it on shift, right? On the clock?
I don't think they necessarily made us. I actually don't remember, but I do know that some of like the managers would like come in with their hand-me-downs, and that was very helpful for me. You know?
Didn't they have like a men's discount for a while? Like if you had a friend, I worked at SoulCycle for a few years, and I remember they'd give us like
men's discounts so that the...
Yeah, to get like to beef up men coming in.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah. I don't know though.
But see, I didn't know anything about that because I was doing the free Peloton classes at their studio on 23rd.
Look at you.
Listen. Y'all can't say the hustle does not live inside me.
No. What neighborhood did you live in when you first moved to the city?
I was initially up in sort of like Washington Heights off of the 168th stop on the 1. And then I moved down to like South Harlem.
The classic actor, you know, right along there.
It was crazy too, because when I was up on 168th, I was dating someone who was living in Ditmas Park, Brooklyn.
Oh my God.
Which is, you know, below Prospect Park.
Long distance.
It was an hour and a half to get there. And I did it 4 times a week.
Of course.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You did what you had
to do. Did they reciprocate and come your way?
No.
Dang.
Sorry, not to throw him under the bus, but no, absolutely not. I mean, why would he? You know, whatever.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Other city would you commute? And I always talk about this with my friends. Like some of my best friends live like near Prospect Park, which is like nearly an hour away from me. And I'm like, in what other city do people commute that long to see friends for a dinner one night a week or on the weekends? Like it's only in New York.
It's only in New York. That is, and that's the thing that I'm like, I'm so glad to be in LA for now, is because I have so many people who are 10 to 15 minutes away. At most,
dreams.
You know, it's makes a difference, man. It makes a difference in terms of how like isolated you feel. Because that is the thing. Like in New York, you have to schedule with people. You have to go somewhere, right? Like it's always like a lot of effort. And sometimes you're just like fucking tired. And you're like, I just want to go over to someone's house and like hang out by their pool, you know?
Yes, 100%. Do you like LA? Has that been a nice place to live for you?
Yeah, I love it. I love it a lot. It's definitely, you know, like New York is more fun. I'm not 22 years old anymore. Like I don't need to be going out on a Tuesday night Yeah. You know?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that totally makes sense. Yeah. Wait, I know we touched upon Fire Island a little bit earlier, but, you know, looking back on that experience, which Connor and I do believe it to be a modern classic, I have to say.
I agree. I agree.
What are some of your favorite memories from filming?
Oh, God. I mean, it was all just like a fucking dream. Like, it was mostly just seeing, because, you know, a lot of these boys like already knew each other. And so being able to sort of meet everyone, but they were already in these fully formed relationships, and just like watching them like go back and forth, because it is a quick group of men, you know, like everybody was just like rip roaring. I just remember being like in the van and just like watching them go and being like, I love this. that's all I want with my friendships, is just to have people who like can just rapid fire to each other, and I can just like enjoy. I'm like, I don't need to participate.
Yeah, because there's something, such history there between like Joel Kim Booster, Matt Rogers, Bowen Yang, you know, that whole group.
Yeah, it was so, so lovely. I'm like, where's the sequel, Joel? Where is it? I mean, he's working on his own things, but it's very special. It's a very special memory.
Yeah, he could adapt another classic novel.
That's what I'm saying.
How long were you out there shooting on the island?
I mean, the whole shoot was 6 weeks. Two of those weeks were on Fire Island itself. And I was on Fire Island for like 2 days, 2 or 3 days. I didn't have a lot to film out there. So
had you been going out to the island before?
I'd gone a couple times, and not like a lot. I think, God, I want to say my first time going out there was summer of 2020 with that first COVID lull. And we were all like, okay, well, like we want to see people, like hang out.
And it's outdoors.
Or maybe it was the year before that was my first time. Anyway, so I'd been a couple times.
That's so fun. Well, like I said, it's a classic. I absolutely love it.
Thank you.
I'll start petitioning for a sequel. Okay. We're going to get the crowd. We're going to pressure Joel to start writing it. Well, we are sadly wrapping up, but before we say goodbye, we do end on a dose of drama, which is just sort of a little pop culture rant, rave, anything like that. And I know that you have a rant for us.
I do. And this is going to be like pure, you know, like the subreddit, like hobby drama.
Yeah.
this is going to be that.
Oh, I'm ready.
Well, if you want to kick it off, normally Connor and I go first, but you're welcome to kick it
off. No, y'all go first. Y'all go first. I'll be the chaser.
Oh, I love it.
The acidic.
Okay. I like that. I will go first. I just want to say, I know it's been a lot of Drag Race this year, but Global All-Stars did just premiere on Friday, and I recommend people give it a chance. It's really entertaining. And we have not had Alyssa Edwards on Drag Race, and I think it's been almost 10 years. And she is TV gold, and the camera loves her. Of course, it's edited a certain way. We get a lot of her in the first episode. I want it all to be her. I mean, granted, there's some other amazing queens too, but I really do recommend people give it a chance. And remember to trust the Duchess, as she once said.
I love
it.
Absolutely.
What's the setup for Global All-Stars? Is it like a regular Drag Race season?
Yeah, it is. They're going to be eliminated, like bottom two and everything eliminated. Yeah, no lipsticks, no voting, no...
Wow.
Just... back to basics. Mm-hmm. Did you watch it, Zane? Or...
I want to. I will. I don't really watch many of the international seasons.
A lot to keep up with.
Because, like, simply, who has the time?
Oh, my gosh.
So many of these queens are so freaking talented. I just love watching for the talent. Like, it's just... It's undeniable.
Absolutely.
And this puts it on full display. So
I love
definitely
that.
Recommend it.
It's really amazing how Rue has made careers for hundreds of drag artists.
Right? Like, you can't knock RuPaul for that. Like, RuPaul has changed the game in how drag artists can make a living, which is incredible. And that's like so inspirational, right? Like, that's what all of us should be doing, right? Is like building a legacy such that like the people who come after us can thrive. Like, I think that's so cool.
Yeah. Thrive, yes. Made livelihoods for these queens. Like, it's pretty insane. Oh, I'm reading Rue's book right now too. And I think I said that on a different episode, but yeah, it's kind of.
Oh yes. I just got that. I need to read it.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Well, Industry season 3 is back on HBO. I don't know if you guys watch Industry. It's kind of like,
I've never seen
it. It's like Young Succession. Do I have any idea what's going on at any time? No, but it's so good and well edited and acted. And like, I definitely have had to rewatch the first two seasons to remind myself, because I think the last new season came out in like early 2022 or 2021. So it's been a whole lifetime, but it is so good. Cannot recommend enough. It's one of those shows you actually have to like pay attention to though. So am I constantly pausing it to, you know, read a text, you know, fill up my water? Of course. So it takes way longer than the 50 minutes that are allotted for the episode, but it is so good. Can't recommend it enough. Love it.
Mm.
All right.
I need to get into
Zane,
it.
Zane, it's time for your dose of drama.
Okay. Let's talk about this. I'm a huge like New York Times games head. So I have done the crossword every day for almost like 4 years now. And my streak has been broken a couple of times during that. But right now I'm on like a nice little 700 day streak. I do not play about the crossword. It is my first priority when I wake up. And so recently I've been like, all right, I like the crossword, but sometimes, you know, you have your Mondays. It's a little short. I do those in like 5 minutes or less every time. So I'm like, all right, let's do spelling bee. Let's do connections. I don't do Wordle because I think that's stupid. Sorry. But one of the ones that they have on there that I hadn't tried, but I always seen it and I was like curious. So I like tried it. It's called Vertex. And it is probably the purest thing on the internet because it's basically like, it's not skill. It doesn't require skill, just requires a little bit of focus. And it is so meditative. And at the end, you make like a pretty little picture. And I'm always so excited to see what the picture is going to be and what it's going to look like. And it's always just really artistic. And it feels nice. It feels good. There's so few good things on the internet these days. And this is a net 100% good. They are discontinuing Vertex.
Oh. This was a twist that I never could have seen coming.
Yeah, like last week they put a little message out and they said, August 28th will be the last day for Vertex. Sorry, y'all. And you want to know my what I'm speculating is that because you cannot do Vertex because it requires like a mouse like to connect all these dots or whatever, that you cannot do Vertex on the app. And they are only supporting things that they can do on the app because everyone has to be using the app. And it makes me so mad because it's so good and it's been a huge part of my mental health.
I'm sorry. I hope there's some sort of a replacement or that there's like an equivalent out there.
I hope so. If anyone knows of anything that will fill that void, please let me know. Because they also don't have an archive, so I can't even like go back.
I'm so sorry for your upcoming loss.
Thank you.
You know, it's tough because a part of me wants to try it, but I'm worried that then I'll fall in love and then it'll be ripped away from me. So
yeah,
quickly,
and it will. You know? Yeah. I mean, that's the way that everything works, you know? You find something that you love at Trader Joe's, it's gone. It's gone the next week. Yeah. Like, you know, like...
Oh my God, I know. I was just talking about this with friends. The spinach feta wrap at Starbucks has really kept me going for years. And if they ever discontinue it, I don't know what'll happen to me.
Okay, well, sorry. They're going to announce that tomorrow. I don't know what to tell you. You know,
I know. Literally, it's going to happen one day.
We're not allowed to love on this earth. That's what I've learned.
Well, speaking of things that are here and then they're gone, your play, Pretty Perfect Lives, is only going to be playing until September 8th. So everyone needs to jump on it. Get their tickets, see Zane in real life. I mean, that is like worth the price of admission alone. I just saw there's a student rush even, or a rush policy.
They're doing like $25 rush tickets. So
No excuse.
Just have to go get your ass to Tribeca.
Exactly.
Oh, I love it.
Right near the old Lululemon in Soho, where Zane used to hang out.
Kind of.
I know. RIP to the men's store.
Well, Zane, thank you.
Thank you all so much for having me. This was a delight. I appreciate it so much.
Oh, yeah, it was so nice to meet you. Thanks for doing the show. Yeah, I'm definitely going to come see Pretty Perfect Lives. So I'll shoot you a message when I come. We'll say hi and meet in real life.
Yeah. Let me know. And congrats on iHeartRadio.
Thank you.
That's so delightful. So
yeah, we're gagged.
We love a patron. Yeah. You know what I mean? We love a patron.
We do. We know you're looking for one. Where can everyone follow you online to keep up with your incredible career?
Yes. Best place is probably on Instagram at Zanethan, which is Zanethan. It's not Zane Ethan. Ethan is not my middle name. Zanethan was just a nickname I had in college. And I didn't anticipate anyone being confused, but now everyone is. So this is my PSA.
Wait, have you ever looked into doing the government name instead? Or is it just at this point you're like...
Well, the hard part is like just at Zane belongs, I think, to Zane Hijazi.
Oh, okay.
And then I don't know about just at Zane Phillips, but it's fine. I think it's kind of chic to not change it.
Me too. It's fine.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, y'all can continue to be confused, I guess.
It's a conversation topic. Wait, so do you have a middle name?
It's Paul, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a great name. Great name. Was our reaction insane?
Like,
we love a Paul.
We love a Paul. It's absolutely my Starbucks name. You know what I mean? Like whenever you're trying to avoid like the confusion of them being like Sam, and you're like,
what?
No, everyone knows Paul. Paul's always easy.
Of course. It's kind of, that's so funny. Well, while everyone is following Zanethan, they should be following us. We're at the Drama Podcast. Connor's at Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Thank you again, Zane. This was honestly a blast.
Thank you.
Of course. So glad to be here.
Yay. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.
Drama.